Our danger is not to say that sin doesn't matter. Our danger is to say that sin is what is going on out there in this evil world, where reckless and self-indulgent people are defying God. Sin's going on out there, but it's not in me.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today. And we're continuing our series on assurance. And Colin, I think all of us would say, yeah, I want to grow in assurance. How do we do that?
Yeah, I mean, what a wonderful gift this is to not only know God, but to know that you know God and to have confidence that you're in a right relationship with Him. You really do have peace with Him and that your eternal future really is in heaven. I mean, that's something to rejoice over. So we're looking at this whole issue of how to grow in assurance. How can I have more of this wonderful gift in my life? And we're really looking today at a second strategy that's absolutely critical, and that is that we make it a regular practice to confess our sins before God. And Steve, I've found in my own life this to be one of the most important spiritual disciplines. I found that to be able to identify the sins that I need to be fighting against more strongly at any given time is a really important part of a living walk with God. And John speaks about this in the first letter of John that we're looking at. And this is very practical, and it's pointing us towards something that's very wonderful. And so I hope that the message today is going to bring greater peace and greater assurance to all of us as we open the scriptures together.
Well, let's do just that. If you can, open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1 as we begin a message called Assurance Grows as You Confess Your Sins. Here's Pastor Colin.
Well, please open your Bible at 1 John in chapter 1. Our series is entitled, How Can I Be Sure? And this first letter of John was written to answer that question. We saw last time that the answer to the question, how can I be sure, is really like a cord that is woven from several strands. And the first of these strands is that we should gain gospel clarity. In other words, a clear grasp of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will help you to be sure of your standing in Christ. And that is why John begins his letter by exposing some lies that actually pervert the gospel of Christ. And the first of these lies that we looked at was the lie that sin doesn't matter. The idea that somehow you can have fellowship with God irrespective of how you choose to live. And John tells us quite clearly that fellowship with God is simply impossible for a person who walks in darkness. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if you think that you have fellowship with God while you are still walking in darkness, you're choosing to stay there, well, then you have bought into a lie and you are in great spiritual danger. That is what John is saying. And the whole point of his letter, of course, is he wants to deliver us from lies and wants us to know the truth. And the truth is, verse 5, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. And that is why the only way to have fellowship with God is to walk in the light as He is in the light. So John speaks first then to the person who walks in darkness. This is the self-indulgent person who refuses to leave the darkness in which they live and the darkness in which they walk. And to this person, John says, if you want truly to have fellowship with God, if you want to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, here is what you have to do. You must come out of the darkness. You must. And you must walk in the light. John then comes to speak to the person who has left the darkness. And to this person, John says, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, you see, he's spoken about walking in the light, and now he's telling us that if we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, there is a whole new and different spiritual danger that we face. Now, this speaks to us as a congregation gathered here this morning in a very obvious and a very direct way. The vast majority of us in this congregation here today have come out from the darkness. We may, some of us at one time, have been like the prodigal son in the far country, but we are not eating with the pigs in the far country today. The vast majority of us here would surely say that we are seeking to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. That would be a good moment, by the way, to say amen. Just to reassure me that that is true, that this really is a fair description, that we are a gathered community of people. The vast majority of us want to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Our great desire is that we should enjoy fellowship with God, fellowship with each other, and that the blood of Jesus should cleanse us from all sin. And very simply, people who walk in the light will never say that sin doesn't matter. We're not going to say that because we know that God is light. We know that in him there is no darkness at all. We know that sin matters. That's why we came out of the darkness. That's why we returned from the far country to our Father who is in heaven. Now, our danger is not to say that sin doesn't matter. Our danger is to say that sin is what is going on out there in this evil world where reckless and self-indulgent people are defying God. Sin's going on out there, but it's not in me. That's our danger. Our danger is to feel that because we've come out of the darkness, because we're walking in the light, our danger is to feel that because we are pursuing holiness, that somehow we have moved beyond the realm of sin. And so what John says in verse 8 is directly for us today. He's saying that you who are walking in the light, if you say that you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. So let's settle this in our minds, what John is saying to us. He's telling us whatever progress you make in sanctification, however closely you may walk with the Lord, however disciplined you may be in your pursuit of a holy life, and some of us are very disciplined indeed, and that's a good thing. However disciplined, however far you've progressed, however mature you've become, it will never go so well with you in your life in this world that you are wholly free from all sin. Now, here we're coming to a truth that is very, very important for understanding the Christian life. Now, I want us to take it in from these verses today. The people who walk in the light live with the reality of remaining sin. People who walk in the light, people who are pursuing holiness, still live with the reality of remaining sin. Now, the doctrine of remaining sin tells us that the impulse to sin remains within us even when we are walking in the light. That though we truly have fellowship with God, though the Holy Spirit truly lives within us, though the blood of Jesus Christ truly cleanses us from every kind of sin, the impulse to sin still remains within us. John's writing to believers. He's been speaking about walking in the light. And to us, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And notice that John includes himself. He doesn't say if you say, he says if we say, he includes himself. In other words, even the apostles could not say that they were wholly free from all sin. Now, sin remains within us in two ways. The first is that sin hides in our hearts. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 and 17 are really helpful here. Walk by the Spirit, Paul says, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, and these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now, here in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to believers, as John is in 1 John and chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul here is quite clear that while we love Christ and while we desire to do his will truly, yet there remains within us an impulse towards what displeases him. And Paul describes this impulse as the desires of the flesh. That remains within you, even though you walk with God. Now, what are we to do about this? Are we to say, well, you know, this impulse to sin resides in my flesh. That's not going to change this side of heaven. So I'm just going to go with the flow of what my flesh prompts me to do. John says, no, no way. You can't do that. That would be to walk in darkness, and you can't have fellowship with God there. The blood of Jesus Christ won't cleanse you there. What are you to do? Well, look at what Paul says. You walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In other words, here's your calling, our calling in the Christian life. Here's what we're to do. We are to rise above the remaining desires of the flesh. We are to do battle against them. And we are able to do this because the Holy Spirit truly lives within us. We're walking in fellowship with God, and the Spirit of God is given to us for this very reason, that we may be able to do battle against the impulses of the flesh that remain in us. And this does not mean that the desires of the flesh go away. They remain. They hide in our nature. People who walk in the light live with remaining sin. Now, there is a very important distinction between remaining sin and reigning sin.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we'll come back and look at that distinction in just a few moments, so hope you'll stay with us. Our message is called Assurance Grows as You Confess Your Sins, part of a larger series all about assurance. It's called How Can I Be Sure? And if you're interested in finding out more about the series, visit our website, openthebible.org. But whether you listen to this program online, on the radio, or through our app, it's all made possible through your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount and support Open the Bible this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book that Pastor Colin has picked out. It's written by Donald McLeod, and it's called Faith Undaunted, Embracing Faith and Knowledge in a Post-Truth Era. To give your gift and request your copy of this book, Faith Undaunted, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or go online to openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
There is a very important distinction between remaining sin and reigning sin. It's going to give me a good chance to practice rolling a few R's here. There's a very important distinction between remaining sin and reigning sin. And it's important to understand the distinction. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You mustn't let it reign over you. Why? Because he says two verses later, sin is no longer your master. So don't let it reign. Sin has been dethroned. So don't let it sit on the throne of your life. He says, do not let sin reign in your body. He could not have said, do not let sin remain in your body, because it does. It does. The desires of the flesh war against the desires of the Spirit, as we have just read. So understand the reality of the Christian life, that sin's reign, that is, sin's power over you, has been broken, but its presence in you remains. And that means that we are called to a battle against the sin that remains so that it does not reign. Don't let it reign. Remember, it's been dethroned, though it has not been destroyed. Remember that sin is not your master, though it is still your enemy. Sin is no longer in charge, but it sure still hangs around. Sin remains in the believer, remains in the person who walks with God. And it remains in two ways. One is that it hides in the heart, and the second is that it shows up in our lives. And that's verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, John says, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, if you look at verse 8 and verse 10, what John says looks very, very similar indeed. And at first glance, you might think that he's simply repeating himself, but he's not. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned. The distinction is that in verse 8, John is describing the hidden impulses to sin that remain in our hearts. In verse 10, he's describing the visible expressions of sin that show up in our lives. John Stott puts it this way: John is as clear about the outbreak of sin in our behavior, that's verse 10, as he is about the origin of sin in our nature. That's verse 8. Verse 8 is the origin of sin in our nature. Verse 10 is the expression or outbreak of sin in our behavior. And John presses this important truth upon us, that we must not let ourselves be deceived by the idea that because we are walking in the light, because the Spirit of God indwells us, because we are doing battle with sin, that somehow it no longer remains within us. You know, some people think of sin simply as the sort of thing that gets in the newspapers. And if your working concept of sin is the sort of thing that gets in the newspapers, then you may be in danger of this deception of thinking that that stuff's not in you. But remember that by definition, sin is missing the mark. And what is the mark that God has set for us? It is that we should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And the clearest evidence that sin remains within us is that all of us miss that mark every day of our lives. Bishop Hanley Moule wrote these words that I've often come back to and found very, very helpful. Quote, "We aim at nothing less than to walk with God all day long." And then he says, "But I hold with absolute conviction from the infallible word of God that there will be limits to the last, and very humbling limits at that, to the last, it will be a sinner who walks with God." So, when we arrive in heaven itself, none of us will arrive on the basis of the triumph of our holiness. All of us will enter in on the basis of the sheer mercy and grace of God that is ours in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see what John is telling us here. You walk in the light. You have come out of the darkness. But here's what you need to understand. We are still sinners by nature, verse 8, and by practice, verse 10. Sin hides in our hearts. It shows up in our lives. And if you think that that's not true of you, that somehow you're different, then you are deceived. And John says the truth is not in you. Now, let me take a moment to try and press this home by way of application. We live in a world that is obviously getting darker fast, very fast. The world around us is getting darker, and the more clearly we see the sins of the world around us, the easier it is for us to lose sight of the sin that remains within us. And you know what? There is an obnoxious pride that can infect the heart of a person who resolves to pursue a holy life, a sense of moral superiority that looks down on others, a sense of virtue that no longer feels its present tense need of being cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you feel, dear friend, that because you read your Bible, because you are seeking to do what it says, that somehow sin is no longer at work in you, you are deceived, John says. And the truth is not in you. And you know what, friends? If we were really to grasp this truth that's in the Bible before us today, if we were really to grasp it and to believe it, we would be the most humble people in all of the world. We would. The most humble people in all the world. People who walk in the light live with the reality of remaining sin. So where do we go from there? What are we to do about the sin that remains and too often breaks out in thoughts and in words and in deeds that are displeasing to God? Well, here's the second thing, and there are just two things again today. Second thing that John says to us, not only does he make it clear that people who walk in the light live with the reality of remaining sin, but he also wants us to know this, that people who walk in the light make progress as they confess their sins.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Assurance Grows as You Confess Your Sins. And we're going to continue to look at this on our next broadcast, so I hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a program, you can listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. There you can stream the broadcast or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find it at your app store. It's a great way to stay connected to Pastor Colin's teaching and listen on demand whenever it fits your schedule. Or again, listen online at openthebible.org. And while you're there, I hope you'll spend a little time and check out some of the resource sections of the website. You're going to find Open the Bible articles to help you dig deeper into a specific topic, Open the Bible Daily, which is our daily devotional that you can both read and listen to, and Open the Bible Story, three journeys through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, showing us how Jesus is the central character of the Bible story. This and much more at openthebible.org. Well, Colin, Open the Bible is going on the road. We're going to be traveling to four different cities this fall, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Indianapolis, and Des Moines. And we're going to be doing a two-hour event in each of these cities called Fly Through the Bible. Can you tell us a little bit more about this event?
Steve, I'm really looking forward to this. Fly Through the Bible is a high-altitude journey through the entire Bible story from Genesis to Revelation. We're going to meet five people in the Old Testament. We're going to explore five events in the life of Jesus, and we'll discover five gifts that God gives to everyone who believes. And for everyone who joins us for the flight, what you're going to get is a clearer grasp of how the whole Bible story fits together. And because the whole Bible story points to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to grow in your love for the Savior. And then after the flight, you're going to have a tool that you can use to reach out to someone in your life who needs to know the God of the Bible. So I hope you'll join me for Fly Through the Bible at a city near you.
For more information, visit our website, openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.